This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The election of Donald Trump in North America is a significant turn in the road for America's future, says everyone. This is a moment in which the Republican Party has rejoined leadership on the Hill and in the executive. And if I understand the courts, the court is sympathetic to some of the conservative opinions of the Republican Party. Therefore, it's time to look to the other nation in North America that's about to have an election. That's the Dominion of Canada. And I welcome my colleague and friend, Conrad Black, distinguished biographer writing at the National Post, about Donald Trump's election. But also, I want to look to the immediate future and the election in Canada. Conrad, a very good evening to you. I'm educating myself about Canadian politics enough to know that it's not the same as it is in the U.S. You don't have an electoral college. You have a national vote. And that has been confounding to me for some time, where the conservative wins more votes, but the prize goes to the liberal in conjunction with another party, a smaller party. So you have a parliamentary system and a national election. At the same time, Mr. Pelevra, leading the conservatives, is so far ahead in the polls, I'm told, that he hardly has to give remarks. He remains ahead in the polls. So is the prospect for Canada to move to Pelevra and the conservative in some fashion similar to the U.S., is that prospect a good one or is that a wish? Good evening to you, Conrad.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. No, that is an excellent prospect. The conservatives are leading by about 20 points, which in your country, as in Canada, is a huge lead. I mean, that's Roosevelt and Landon, or Lyndon Johnson and Goldwater, or Richard Nixon and George McGovern. It's a landslide. And the reason in the last two elections the conservatives won more votes, but fewer MPs, is a little like your electoral college. The conservatives won a lot of votes in Western Canada by huge majorities, so they had a bigger popular vote. But the Liberals won more members of Parliament. There's now in the indicative polls no hint of anything like that being possible. And if the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau runs again, he will be attempting to become the first person in Canadian history in more than a century to win four consecutive elections. And it's and the last person who did it is one of the great figures in the history of this country, Wilfrid Laurier. He's on our $5 bill. And Justin Trudeau is not a figure of that stature. Now, he may try and hand over to someone else before the election. But there's a very strong sense after these 10 years, as there is when you get into a similar situation in the U.S., of it's time for a change. I mean, both sides come to bat. So I'd be pretty confident that the conservatives will win. And I think they will win on a program not as flamboyantly or bombastically stated as the Trump program, and not after all the terrible and outrageous perversion of the justice system and politicization of the intelligence services and so on that Trump suffered from, but a powerful mandate for course correction.
I want to look at policy. Mr. Trump is addressing the economy, the inflation matter. There's talk of him rolling back the Inflation Reduction Act, which is a cause of, I'm told, the inflation. There's also severe talk about the border and deporting those who have entered this country without documents. Is there similar talk by the conservatives addressing the economy and addressing the migrants?
Yeah. On the economy, yes, it's not so much inflation as it is declining economic growth. Now, we still have a better rate of growth than most of Western Europe does. Most of it is stagnant, as you know, but clearly inferior to the United States. And through the lives of most Canadians, including myself, and I'm relatively elderly, Canada was quite close to the United States in measurable per capita prosperity. But we've been falling farther behind steadily through the last decade, and Canadians are very alarmed at it. Not that we begrudge prosperity to the U.S., we just don't want to be uncompetitive ourselves. And on the immigration thing, that's not the same kind of issue, because our only border is with you people, and we have no more problem with Americans rushing into Canada than you have with Canadians rushing into America. I mean, people don't flee this country, they don't flee your country, so our border is relatively unguarded, and anyone who is serious about it can cross between the two countries, and no doubt a few people do, but not very many. And I mean, if you want to go out in some farmer's field in Saskatchewan or something, you can easily do it, or Montana, or even the state of Maine, you know. But there's no significant instance of that. Now, there is some concern that as President Trump cracks down on the people who've come in illegally, that some of them will try to flee into Canada. So there is some conditional or preemptive concern about that. But you have nothing to fear from Canadians fleeing this country. That's not going to happen. A good many of them move to the U.S., but they do it in the legitimate process. They, you know, go to the consulate and get a permit to enter.
And the USMCA to be negotiated again, I believe. Mexico is the focus, but Canada is also participating in the USMCA. Has that been seen as a success, or does it need adjustment for Canada?
It's seen as a success here, and the original free trade agreement with the U.S. alone is seen as a success. There are concerns here that that incoming president, returning president, will be a hard bargainer. But historically, what happens is if we have to give way a bit on the tariff side, we adjust our currency accordingly. I think President Trump has made it clear that Mexico's his chief concern. We have not here been in the business of enticing companies to shut down factories in the U.S. and move 5 miles inside the Canadian border and then export their product back into the United States with a tax holiday here, in effect exporting both the product and unemployment back to the U.S. I mean, that has been happening along the Mexican border. That is not happening here. So the things to be put right, as our understanding of it is, including, by the way, a discussion I had with President Trump himself a couple of months ago, is that the Americans are really aiming at outrageous conduct by Mexico, which is combined, of course, with a completely inadequate and unacceptable performance of Mexico in immigration matters. None of that encumbers the U.S.-Canadian relationship.
Is the generality then that Canada's in a position to embrace a conservative leader and join in lock arms with the U.S. again? Is that too much of a generality, or is that possible?
A slight exaggeration, but I think yes, in this sense, that what you say is exactly right. Because half of Canada's economic activity is connected in some way with the United States, imports, exports, and other matters, everyone can see that increasing prosperity in the United States is good for us. So in that sense, the country sees Trump as a likely architect of economic growth in the U.S., increased prosperity, more demand in the system, and that we will benefit from that to a substantial degree. Secondly, the U.S. will start up the XL pipeline that Biden shut down on his inauguration day, which will be a source of great happiness in Western Canada and improve our own oil exports. And that if the U.S., as is expected, imposes heavy sanctions on Iran and uses its economic might to enforce its sanctions, our understanding and our belief on the basis of what Republican sources have said also, is that we can go with the U.S. in filling the blockaded areas of oil supply. So to the extent that Iranian sales of oil and if Venezuelan sales are reduced, we can help supply that vacuum as the Americans can. So the informed opinion up here is quite optimistic about the election.
Conrad Black, writing at the National Post, distinguished biographer. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Someone's trying to take advantage of you.
Learn how to recognize and report phishing at cisa.gov/secure our world.